Welcome to the Third City Podcast. My name is Brandon Rubin, parent, educator, and aspiring everythingologist. This podcast is my attempt at creating my own narrative, story, advertising agency to counter the messages that they bombard us with on a daily basis. By helping myself, I hope to help you and hope to help us. I hope to help we. And by you listening and placing your attention, your consciousness in this direction, you're participating in Third City and its connection to reality and its creation itself. We've come to the 20th episode. We're going to continue with a regular scheduled programming sections of the podcast. In the story, we've come to a point where Jimmy Beat is on his way to the School of Wishes. He has veered from the path Ghost Ties gave him up to Doom Mountain to the House of Alex Balance to get his fourth tool, and decided to go back to the Carnival of Peace, where he encountered some problems, and we're going to try to see if he can solve those problems today with the help of Reuben Good and the Re. So thank you for joining me on my journey. Be curious, be present, and I'll see you on the flip side. This is Mayor Ark here, deep embedded into the gray field, somewhere between garbage and consumer space in the basement synagogue, shtiebel, as we would say in Yiddish. It's called Sharidim, the Gates of Tears. We're open 24 hours. And here on this episode, or part of the podcast, we're talking about the tools of Dr. Free. We've made it through all four of the Jive Senses, music, math, dance, love, and light. And the last one we have not discussed is math. Math goes with mouth, with the concept of tasting. And the mouth also has two functions, tasting and talking. We're going to focus on the tasting part. Now, the way that we taste is with our tongue, which goes with language. In the world of Hebrew and Hebrew, it's lashon is the same. Lashon is the tongue. And also teeth are prominent in that we say vishinantam levenacha. You should teach them to your children. But shinantam comes from shein, and shein means Shin and Nun come together to means to repeat, to do over and over again, to chew up knowledge, to chew up concepts, and to process them and understand them. But the concept of learning and understanding is similar to the process of eating, repeating, gaining. And why is it connected to mouth in math is because our knowledge of life is based on our capacity to farm, which is our capacity to understand the seasons and the stars. Because the only way we can get beyond just basic bare survival like animals is by being able to process food, and creating farms. The agricultural revolution allowed us to create cities, and cities allowed to create economies, which allowed us to do things other than just survive. An update from last week, I just wanted to point out something I realized this week as I'm teaching my students about the nervous system, that the nose, as I pointed out last week, is nose is love, and what makes the nose unique, I spoke about last week, but scientifically unique, is that the way your body processes information is through the senses, and your senses relay through the thalamus or the hypothalamus and then to your brain. But the nose, the olfactory system, doesn't process through the thalamus. It goes directly from the nose to the brain without a processing, an extra processing step, which demonstrates that the nose on some level has a more direct contact from the sense to the brain and back, which means it's a deeper form of knowledge. And that's why I think in the Garden of Eden it says that they never smelled the fruit, meaning that part of the person is unique and holy and special. And also in the Messianic age, that the Messiah, the King who will come, will be able to smell justice and truth, because it's a direct access to the brain, which is like the seat of the neshama, the soul. Well, thank you very much for joining me. This is Mayor Ark on the tools of Dr. Free, deep down here in Third City, in the basement shtiebel. for the Bluers people and all the people out there. Have a great week. Podcast this week is sponsored by Dr. Free and Dr. Free Merchandise. This is Propaganda Panda, also known as the Bipolar Bear. Dr. Free Merchandise is a set of conceptual tools for reflexive messaging. We all live in a world where we're bombarded by messages and ideas and concepts coming from all kinds of people and all kinds of places trying to manipulate us with their spirit spies. Dr. Free Merchandise will allow you to take the concepts, ideas, and values that you value and implement them in a self-messaging system. Some of the merchandise that we've come up with, Rhythm Glue, Jam Powder, Antiskeptic, and many other like Truth Paste, which we're going to speak about next week. But you can come up with your own conceptual tools of Dr. Free Merchandise, and please let us know. You can email us at www.drfree.com and click on that button that says ideas you'd like to share. And we'd love to hear from you. This is Propaganda Panda, also known as the Bipolar Bear. Have a great week. So Jimmy B followed the vanilla gorilla and marked determination through the camp around makeshift kitchens made from wood and rocks, around wooden stages, past fires and music, until they came to a little tent with a small fire. And there sat Reuben Good and Lurie. They were both sitting together. It looked like they were eating rice and beans. And as they came around the corner, Reuben Good looked up. He's wearing a blue hat, as was Lurie. And he said, "Mark Determination, the Vanilla Gorilla, how's your show going?" And he said, they said, it's going fine, but there's a problem." And the Reese said, "What's the problem?" He said, "Well, Jimmy Beat's here, and we think the Walligator's coming." They said, "Oh no, Jimmy Beat, you're not supposed to be here, are you?" And he said, "No, Ghost Eyes told me to go, you know, up the mountain and across the prairie to Alex Balance's house, but I just heard the music. I heard the music coming from the Carnival of Peace, and I just had to come. When I got here, I saw the show of Vanilla Gorilla, and I met Mark Determination. I was so intrigued. It was amazing. But then Marie said, you made a big mistake. You didn't listen to Ghost Eyes. And now the Walligator's coming." And Jimmy Beat said, "What's the Walligator?" "Well, the Walligator comes when we're not all together. And since you haven't been to the School of Wishes, you're not part of we yet, the worthwhile endeavor. And if you can't fit in, if you can't match up, the Walligator can come. He could destroy the whole camp." "What is the Walligator?" said JB. Reuben Good said, "We have no time for that now." And he pulled from his coat, from his robe, something that looked like a horn from an animal. And he made a sound. And all the music in the camp slowly stopped. And all the motion, the music, and the dancing stopped. And Reuben Good stood up on top of the large rock and he said, "Walligator, Walligator, Walligator." And everyone knew what that meant. They went back to their tents and they got their fondue balls. And Reuben Good threw one to Jimmy Beat. He said the only way we can beat the Walligator is if everyone plays Fondue together. The Walligator can't beat us if we're together working. But if someone's out, like he thinks you are, because you're not part of the School of Wishes yet, he could destroy the whole camp. So everyone went back to their tents, and as the Walligator came, it was like a big, red alligator, but taller, almost like a dinosaur. It looked like he was made of little pieces of spirit spies. And as he came out of the woods, what did you say, Alessa?
I thought he's good.
Oh, the Walligator is good?
Yeah. He used to steal something.
Right, so sometimes when I tell the story, it's in different order. So this is the time, you're right. This is the time before the Walligator became good. Now the Walligator was still part of some that they I sent out to try to attack the School of Wishes. So the Walligator came out of the woods, and he hadn't transformed to good yet. He hadn't met all the people he needed to meet to change. And he roared. And Reuben Good stood on the rock, and everyone stood in a circle, and he said the magic words, Fondue Sea, and everyone repeated Fondue Sea, and they started to play. And the balls were up in the air, and they were surrounding the Walligator, and they were throwing their balls, and they were running in circles and spirals and lines. And the Walligator, almost like a snake from a snake tamer, was totally mesmerized by the balls, looking here and there. And you could see that over time he was going from angry to confused, to tired, as he was mesmerized by the Fondue game. It was the motion, it was the balls. The balls themselves were talking, because each Fondue ball is like a little pet that everyone has that they can talk to. And they were saying their mantras, metaphor, get the metaphor. Soul, rock my soul. Rock my, who are we? Who we be? We be the new invasion. We're a carnival of peace. We're a rowdy bunch. And the Walligator slowly looked confused, and then his eyes closed, and he fell down to the ground as if he was fast asleep. And everyone's Fondue balls fell to the ground, and they fell to the ground. And they laughed. And Reuben Good and Lurie stood up. And Reuben Good said to Jeannie Beat, "Well, it's nice to have you here. And obviously, you're able to play Fondue with us. But you still need to make your way to the School of Wishes. I suggest you go that way and make sure you listen to Ghost Eyes next time she tells you to do something." And Jeannie Beat said, "I'm sorry." And he hustled out through the woods, down the path, towards the house of Alex Balance. And Lurie said, "What are we going to do? How are we going to get the sleeping Walligator out of here? What are we going to do with him?" And Reuben Good said, "I think this is a job for Joanna Campbell."This is Baruch Meir Ben Yonah Halevi here with Hashkacha Pratis, Hashkacha Pratit, or we could say in English, synchronicity. I'm going to try something slightly different this week. I guess in a certain way, you'll see what that means. I was in the midst of trying to figure out what to talk about this week for synchronicity when I decided to listen to Rabbi Lord Jonathan Sacks, the former chief rabbi of the British Empire, and what he shared was about Hashkacha Pratis. I felt it was Hashkacha Pratis. He was talking about Hashkacha Pratis. It was providential. He was talking about divine providence. So I'm going to share that with you, and it's going to contain some words from the Torah this week. So the the story of Yosef, or Joseph, in the Torah is an important part of the end of the book of Genesis, and there's a whole cascade of events in this week's section that we read in the temple, in the synagogue. Joseph is looking for his brothers, and he comes upon a stranger who guides him to where his brothers are, and then the whole rest of the story unfolds, which I'm not going to go over now, but just the fact that he wouldn't have come across this stranger, he wouldn't have found his brothers, and the rest of the story would not have happened. So some of the classic sages and commentators say, Rashi says that was the angel Gabriel. The Ibn Ezra is another one, said it was just a random passerby, but he focused on the fact that the Ramban, Nachmanides, said it was a guide. Ramban says he was a guide without his knowledge. It's not clear whose knowledge it was. It was a guide that was there without his own knowledge. It was a guide that was there without Yosef's knowledge. But either way, the way Rabbi Sachs phrased it is, he was an angel who didn't know he was an angel. It means an angel means in Hebrew is a malach, which means a messenger. Each angel has a particular job. It's a set of energy information that has to accomplish a certain goal. In this case, this was an angel who didn't know he was an angel, meaning he was there, he did something, but he didn't know that's exactly what he was doing. And Rabbi Sachs gave an historical example in the context of the history of the Jewish people and the building of the State of Israel of a few angels that didn't know they were angels that helped push through the modern State of Israel. So the example was, there's a woman named Dorothy Pinto who was a Sephardic Jew. And she married into the Rothschild family and she, in the early 20th century. And apparently she was very good at connecting people together, and she connected the Rothschild family to Chaim Weizmann, who was a chemistry professor in Manchester and an Ashkenazi, a European Jew, but who was in the forefront of trying to build the State of Israel. And through that connection, eventually, he made the right connections to raise the money to get the Balfour Declaration signed in 1917, which was a document that allowed Jews, because the Ottoman Empire ended and the British took over, it allowed Jews to have legal status in Palestine or Israel, however you want to say it at this point. And the other person is a man named Eddie Jacobson, who was also grew up in New York, but eventually moved to Kansas City. He was a Jewish immigrant, and he made a friend, and he's, I think, growing up, or maybe in college, named Harry Truman. And Harry Truman eventually became the President of the United States, and they kept in touch all that time. And eventually, when it came time for the Second World War to end, for the State of Israel to be come up in the United Nations, due probably to the influence of Eddie Jacobson, Harry Truman was allowed the United States to sign to proclaim the State of Israel in 1948 to be a state. And so you see that these two people, Eddie Jacobson and Dorothy Pinto or Dorothy Rothschild, were these people who, in a certain sense, were angels who didn't know they were angels. They were just there doing their job. They didn't really realize in the midst of what was happening that the connections and the work that they were doing was going to set up a situation that was providential for the Jewish people and for the world itself. Okay, thank you so much for joining me for Hashgacha Pratis, Synchronicity. This is Baruch Meir, Ben Yonah Levi. Have a wonderful week. Hey, this is Brandon the Bluesmith coming to you from the Banala Ship WEWE Pirate Radio from the School of Wishes 22.2 on your dial. This week we're going to talk about fondue. What is fondue? What are the rules? What is it for? What is its purpose? A little bit of background on fondue in the practical sense. Now, fondue is a game played with the fourth tool of Dr. Free called the fondue ball. Metaphor, get the metaphor, get the metaphor is all. We'll be getting to that later. Part of the point of fondue is connecting people together. There are eight rules, and just like there are eight tools. The first rule of fondue is everyone must be moving. The second rule is everyone must touch the ball. The 3 second rule. No one may hold the ball for more than 3 seconds. The goal of the fourth rule is to keep the ball in the air but play the bounce. The goal of the fifth rule is parabola passes. That's how we pass. Number six is spirals and figure eights. That's how we move. Number seven is how we communicate with eyes and with words. And number eight, the rule is phones down and smiles up. You can play with as many people as you need to. The goal of the game is really to get as many catches as you can, keep the ball moving, have lots of fun, and destroy your spirit spies in the meantime by connecting yourself to other people and to your fondue ball, which is your technology. There are technical rules that we're working on in terms of the fondue court and the game, but at this point in the world of Third City, fondue is for building up the WE, destroying the spirit spies, and making the world the best place that can be. Fondue like 1-2, fondue C like 1-2-3. It's easy, it's fun to do. It's a martial art, it's a martial sport. It's for the masses, it's made of passes. This is Brandon the Bluesmith with Pirate Radio WEWE on your FM dial 22.2 from the School of Wishes, Planet Peace. Have a wonderful week. Hey, this is Double Helix, Felix the Dog, coming to you deep in the bowels of Third City, inside the gray field, from my ice cream chuck, selling just ice cream. This is Word Work. The word of the week this week is going to be fondue. Join me for the intro. We don't call this word play, we call this word work, like William Wordsworth. We know that words are worth more than just the different dictionary definitions. Each word is a spell, a magic incantation, and we are the magicians, recognizing the relations between their letters and the order, syllables, abbreviations, upside down, inside out, backwards, forge interpretations like the following. Now, fondue came from 1-2 because fondue is simple. And it's also fondue because it's fun to do. And it's also fondue because it's like kung fu, because fondue is like a 21st century cooperative martial art. It's cooperative, instinctive juggling that happens in an impromptu fashion. It's a mindful sport for the masses. It's a martial art. It's a mindful sport. And that's what fondue is. So implanted in the name, fondue is what fondue is. Fondue, in the mythology, was taught to us by the founder of fondue named Shtel Tzu. Metaphor, get the metaphor. For those that understand Shtel Tzu, that's for you. This is Felix the Dog, Double Helix, Felix the Dog, from my ice cream truck deep in the bowels of Third City inside the gray field. Get your just ice cream and have a wonderful week. Hey, you've reached the flip side. Hopefully you've been being curious and present throughout your week and throughout listening to the podcast. Thank you for joining me this week. I wanted to share one thing that over the week I learned a little about Joseph Campbell, who's a famous person who is a an academic who studied and wrote about mythologies and trying to create my own mythology. I didn't know that what I was doing when I started, but I think that's probably what it is. He has this concept of creating your own creative mythology, that the stage we are at in history, that people, whether they're connected to an ancient tradition or not, we're in a place where each individual being that we are all in the image of God and unique, have to, in a certain sense, create our own mythology. And that's what I'm attempting to do and model that for the future of humanity. So if you're in the future, hopefully there'll be more people creating more creative mythologies in the future, which are not unbinding their connections to the past, which I'm certainly not trying to do, because I'm connected to my God and my tradition and my people, but I am also charging forward into the future. I want to shout out students that are listening, and looking at some of my statistics, it looks like there are people listening that are not in the United States. If you're not in the United States, shout out to you. We love the United States, but we also love all the people throughout the world. The Worthwhile Endeavor, that is us. Thank you so much for joining me this week. You should be blessed, be happy, to be safe, and to know that you are special.